Ci tengo. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sunday morning, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila, chapter 20, the Lord instructs Sanatan Goswami. Text 354. Avatara nahi kaha ama avatara. Munisabha lanikara lakshanavichara. Avatar nahi kaha Ami avatar. Munisabha lanikara lakshanavichara. Avatar nahi kaha Ami avatar. Munisabha lanikara lakshanavichara. Avatar and Nahi Kami, Nahi Kai Amar Avatar Munisabe Lani Kari Lakshanavichar. Avatari nahi kami ami avatar. Munisabha lani kare lakshanavichar. Avatari nahi kami ami avatar. Ladies. Hare Krishna, Avatara Munisabha lanikare lakshanavichara Avatara nahi kama avi avatar Munisabha lanikare lakshanavichara Avatar. The actual incarnation of Godhead. Nahi. Never. Kahe. Says. Ami Avatar. I am an incarnation. Muni. The great sage Mahamuni Vyasadev. Sabajani, knowing all past, present, and future. Kari Lakshanavichara, describes the symptoms of the avatars. Translation Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. An actual incarnation of God never says, I am God, or I am an incarnation of God. The great sage Vyasadeva, knowing all, has already recorded the characteristics of the avatars in the Shastra. Purport, very small purport, two lines. In this verse, it is clearly stated that a real incarnation of God never claims to be a real incarnation. According to the symptoms described in the Shastra, one can understand who is an avatar and who is not. Avatarinahi kaha, ama avatar, munisabalanikare lakshanavichar. So Lord Chaitanya is continuing to teach Sanat Goswami. And this is an interesting text. I would say it's a very Prabhupada saturated text. This is a very favorite preaching point for Srila Prabhupada. This claim of the pseudo-spiritualist that I am God or I am incarnation of God. The point here is that Lord Chaitanya is establishing the fact that a real incarnation, one of his characteristics is he never says that I am God. And he goes on to say how Vyasadeva has given lengthy characteristics how one can know who is God. And that's one very general and way we could describe the scriptures and what we have from Srila Prabhupada's books. We have very, very, very detailed descriptions of everything. Absolutely everything is described in extreme detail. And one of my favorite expressions is therefore that it leaves no excuses. Shastra doesn't leave any excuse for anything, really. Because it's all described there. Everything is described. The real thing from the bogus thing. Just on this point, in this topic of Niskan about characteristics of a guru, it's a big discussion, an important discussion, and an ongoing discussion for our society. What is the characteristics of a guru? But much more another topic connected, but not discussed as much detail, is what is the characteristics of a disciple? And that has to be discussed actually at equal, if not more, length, because that's where we look at ourselves. And just recently in a nice podcast, Sri Ramaswamy was discussing this, how he had told a prospective disciple that you have to very, very carefully scrutinize your spiritual master for 1 year. And the way Maharaj said it, in his super sober way that he says things, it really hit the devotee. The devotee had never heard this practically. Here he is sitting, aspiring for initiation, and he'd never heard this. Or never had really registered with him the importance of this topic. And that disciple, therefore, then spoke to Shyam Bihari Prabhu, Maharaj's servant, and brought it back to Maharaj and said, this devotee practically had never heard this. So Maharaj then decided to make a little podcast based on this point. And he says, we have to know these things. We have to know the characteristics of everything, especially of ourselves. If we're aspiring disciples of a guru, we have to know what are the characteristics of a disciple, of a bona fide disciple. We shouldn't be so much worried about a bona fide guru. We should be more worried about, am I a bona fide disciple? Because if I am, then Krishna does the rest. It's very nice expression Srila Prabhupada uses repeatedly, that Krishna is more eager for us to go back to him than we are to go to him. So he's very readily, happily send us the most qualified, the most powerful, whatever guru we need, if we are ready. If we are a bona fide disciple, bona fide ready for it. So he was saying how these characteristics, just to use the word characteristics, so the connection here for me, that we have to know all these characteristics in the scriptures. So in the text here, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I am God. Everyone, somebody claims I am God is bogus, because an incarnation never claims I am God. So we could look at this point from the general preaching point, and then from the more personal point of how do we look at this wild exclamation of somebody saying, I am God. Has anybody ever met somebody, actually? Has anybody ever met in their interactions or preaching activities somebody claiming this to be God? Has anybody ever? Any India preacher? I think it's we usually identify this with more with a little deviation that you get in the Indian subcontinent than the West. In its grosser way, anyway, at least. Nobody here met it? Okay. Is anybody here in books? Yeah, you've read something? Okay, you've read something. But Prabhupada preaches against it incredibly large amount of times. And there's many instances of it. Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who is a devotee I joined under back in Ireland, he really liked to tell one story that Prabhupada had about this. Because he was there, I'm not sure if it was either Edinburgh or Scotland, Tribhuvanath Prabhu was in temple present either Edinburgh or Scotland. And Srila Prabhupada came, and they had a big gathering in some local hall. And it was very full, it went very nice. And then some man had a question. And basically, it was one of these ranting and raving, we say. He was making all these expressions of, well, why can't I be, and I want to be, and actually I think I am, just going on like this and this. Usually the erratic statements of somebody in this mentality. So he went on for some time, and Srila Prabhupada tolerated. We know Srila Prabhupada responds in different ways, depending. In this case, he let the man go on and on and on. So much so that, of course, that eventually the audience themselves were getting a little, when's the guy going to shut up? But he went on for a while. So eventually when the man stopped, Srila Prabhupada... Now, Tribhuvanath would tell a little variation of the way he would say it. Sometimes he would get... After the man had finished, Prabhupada would point to the man and said, you are not G-O-D, you are... and or sometimes he shouted, you are not God, you are dog. But actually Prabhupada said, you are not D-O-G, you are not G-O-D, you are D-O-G, you are dog. And that's all Prabhupada said. The audience just... That was it. Prabhupada said it with such an atomic bomb-like way. He just flattened the man and flattened everybody. And everybody loved it. And that was the end of him. And there's a similar one, the Merlin character. Kronrupu writes about it in his great Transcendent Adventure book about Srila Prabhupada. Around a similar time, I think, in Melbourne, there was a famous character called Merlin. Merlin something, some hippie, and he had the cape and he had the hat, and he was thinking he was Magic Merlin. Oh, the real Merlin or this imitation Merlin? Oh, you know the imitation, huh? Well, I hope not personally. So he was the famous Merlin in Melbourne. And he came, probably gave a talk, and it was very, 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 again, very crowded situation. And this Merlin character, he stood up. In this case, he walked right up to the front of the stage and got the microphone. And then also started one of these big ranting and ravings. And he went on and on and on. And the devotees were really wondering, because the audience were into this guy, because he was a famous hippie character around Melbourne. And the audience were all hippies, so they thought, yeah, this is cool, this is great. So the devotees are wondering how Prabhupada is going to respond, because the audience were on his side, seemingly. So then he went on for a while, and then he finished, and then some of his last statements, he was saying, I am he. I am he. I am the center. I am the center of everything. I am he. And then when Prabhupada responded, he says, yeah, everyone's thinking like that. What's the big deal about you? That's not special. Everyone's thinking it's him. Everyone's thinking he's the center of the universe. You're just like everyone else thinking you're the center of the universe. And somehow the audience just liked Prabhupada's turn on it, responded nicely, and they all big loud applause, claps and whistles. So Prabhupada again very, very, very expertly and very nicely turned it on its head. This idea of people who are thinking they're God. There was another one. Another story I can't think just now. So this is a... So Srila Prabhupada would say it's a very common phenomenon of people thinking and outrageously claiming they're God. Like there we have, okay, some wild hippie characters. But then in India, it's actually a really a big problem. And we hear the story of Bhatino Thakur had a famous instance of Vishvakshen or something like that. Vishvakshen. A yogi who was a genuine yogi, who was a genuine, powerful yogi. And he was doing all sorts of curing people and putting fire out of his hand and things like this. And he developed quite a strong following. And the local government were getting worried about it, so they asked Bhatino Thakur to investigate. And Bhatino Thakur did so, and he went to the man, and the man was very powerful. The second actually Bhatino Thakur arrived, the man told, you're here to stop me, and you're here to this. Do not do this. So he was actually capable of reading a mind. So, powerful guy by normal standards, I guess. But Bhatino Thakur said, you may have some yogic powers, but you have no idea what is God. How dare you claim to be the supreme personality of Godhead? This is blasphemy of the highest order. You do not know who God is, and people who are worshipping you do not know who God is. And Srila Prabhupada would say this a lot, unfortunately, that that's my first point, that apart from the people cheating, claiming to be God, the people who are following are just as much also cheaters, because they want to be cheated, because they also don't know what is God. They also aren't looking for the characteristics which is described in detail in the Shastra. Everybody wants to just whimsically go along with their own ideas. So the story goes on anyway. It's a very dramatic story. It's given a whole chapter actually in the biography because of its dramatic detail, how then the man's arrested, and when they try to arrest him, he shakes his head and fire flies out of all his hair like a like, genuine, yeah. Super dramatic story. But then he's still arrested, and when he's arrested, then huge followers come to the prison to protest this. He's very, very popular. And then he genuinely puts some curses on Bhatino Thakur's family. First, his daughter gets sick. And then Bhatino Thakur, on the morning of the trial went on for many weeks. On the morning he was meant to pass judgment, he got a severe pain across his chest. Very severe pain. And he could realize this was this Vishvakshena character who was casting some curse, but Bhatino Thakur did not stop, and he delivered his verdict that he was bogusly claiming to be God and that he should be imprisoned. And as soon as shortly after they gave the verdict, one local doctor jumped on him and chop, 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 snip, 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 snip. Off comes all this wonderful matted dreadlock hair, we can imagine. And as soon as his hair cut off, the guy just collapsed on the floor very badly because he hadn't eaten, actually, in prison to show his power. He hadn't eaten or drank in about, I don't know, 7-8 weeks, a long time. Not especially drinking water, it's not normally possible, but he was able to sustain himself by his yogic powers. But once the hair was gone, so was the powers. So people could see this, and therefore they left him. So Bhatino Thakur, so these it's extremely outrageous claim to be God in the light of the Shastra. And so for us especially, it's kind of philosophically, it's as devotees, it's just nuts. I don't think any of us here would, in our wildest maya, would go out and say, I'm God. Not philosophically, of course, because we've all come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's very clear explanation of who is God. But unfortunately, there's a more existential claim that we make to be God. There we have this expression, philosophical atheism and emotional atheism. So the claim to be God is indirectly an atheistic claim. And so there's certain situations people do it openly and publicly and philosophically and try to sell themselves as that. But then there's the more, it's this more emotional sense of where we as conditioned souls are still quite convinced we are God. And it's interesting, the spiritual world we hear is this hugely ever-expanding place, right? Vaikuntha planets are unmeasurable, and Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet, it's more than all the Vaikunthas put together. So we hear this huge, huge, unlimitedly huge place called the spiritual world, and there's only one God, and that's Krishna. And then you got the material world, which is tiny, 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 tiny. And the analogy we're given of a picture of a mustard seed, how tiny this universe and all the universes really are. Packed full of billions and billions of living entities, all claiming to be God. I mean, a recipe for serious disaster. So the material world is one very long disaster story. Something we hear about disasters and we get affected by, oh, such a disaster. Not really. Not really. The disasters we hear about, this so-called calamity, they're not disaster. The whole material world is just one ongoing, before our eyes, disaster story. Because every single one of us in the material world is somehow or other defending our place and claiming, trying to stake out we are God. And the attempt of the conditioned soul to enjoy matter, either in the male or the female bodies. This is one thing too. It's how interesting how in the male, they say there's a whole cultural thing that the men are like this and women are different, but in philosophical terms, there is no difference between men and women. They are both just different ways of trying to be Krishna. The men are trying to play the enjoyer, and the ladies are trying to play the enjoyed, the all-attractive. I am the center of attention. I am all-attractive, or I am the enjoyer. Each form has its own emphasis on some way of trying to imitate Krishna. We're all the prakriti. Explain. We are all to be enjoyed, but we're all attempting to be Purusha, to be the enjoyer. And therefore, fundamentally, we are all very frustrated in the material world. This leads to great frustration. We're all desperately seeking something that we cannot have and never will be, as basically the position is taken. And I'm thinking how we can respond to this in a very serious matter. It's a very serious issue. We have serious God complexes. I'm not sure if that's a term they use in psychology, the God complex. So every single one of us is guilty of having this God complex. And it doesn't take much for us to have a little introspection to see how we're guilty of it when somehow or other, especially when we're some way to enjoy something or some plan to we had to do something and somebody gets in our way. Especially as devotees, actually, it's really important that we see reverses in a positive light, actually. Because reverses are a very, 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 very nice way to try and go deeper on this point that I'm not God, I'm not Krishna. Because when things all go to our plan, in our plans in Krishna consciousness, that's very nice. But we should really prepare for Krishna to go very unexpectedly. And then accept that as Krishna doing something to us to really waking us up to see that we're not the controllers, we're not supreme. And this usually happens in some reverse. Even in our Krishna conscious preaching. And there's nice, I think, in how, like in Srila Prabhupada's example, like basically, actually recently in the, it was the anniversary of the arrival of Srila Prabhupada in America, and one devotee gave a nice talk about how he just, one after another, the impediments that Srila Prabhupada dealt was incredible. Basically everything failed for Prabhupada, almost, you could say. Everything failed up until 1966. His whole life, you can say, even like his careers, his many jobs, he was going up and then was collapsing repeatedly due to various details sometimes he gives. And his family, of course, he left it and he just walked out on that, so he kind of ended that. Of course, many say that's a successful ending of his marriage life. His legal devotees didn't work. The Jhansi project didn't work. His first Back to Godheads, he was doing it all on his own. We see if we're doing a project or a service and there's no one doing it with us, so we feel like, why am I doing this on my own? But when you have people with you, then you feel, okay, now it's working. Srila Prabhupada was completely on his own, we hear. Writing the magazine, producing it, collecting the money and going out and selling it. So, and nothing much really happened from that. So, it was clearly how he very much dealt with continual external failure for most of his life. But he never, ever questioned it, never stopped. You never hear Srila Prabhupada saying, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe this is not right. No, he never, ever did that. He just accepted this is his mission to do some service, and this is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's arrangement, constantly to show me. And, of course, we know it's Krishna constantly pushing Prabhupada to a certain point, which happened when he went to America. So, reverses, devotees should accept reverses in a nice way. And usually that means that we have to first deal with our seriously agitated false ego. When something really, really annoys us. I mean, so and so, just something bugs us like mad and somebody does something. And we're completely justified that we're right. And while we may want, okay, maybe later I will inform that devotee of something. But right now, my severely agitated false ego is a wonderful opportunity to realize I'm not Krishna. That's the first response we try to. I'm not Krishna. I'm not God. And my false ego is completely disturbed because I'm thinking. This is a little glimpse. Because, again, I said, well, none of us are here so gross to think. We're thinking we're Krishna. But deep down, it's there. It's bubbling up all the time. So when you get a little glimpse of it, you go, okay, here's a chance. Krishna, I'm not you. I shouldn't be trying to claim your position. And everything we do around us is set up to try and respond like that. That's why every one of us has got the name Das and Dasi. We're constantly remembered to see ourselves as servant, not control. We always try to bow down. We're always told to try and render some service. We spend all our day telling you're doing service. You're doing service. You're not to be the receiver of service. Always be in the mentality of doing service for others. For Krishna and for Krishna's devotees and those who potentially could be Krishna's devotees. So we really should kind of tune in and become aware of how much our sadness is geared towards directing our still very out of control false ego to realize that I am not the master, I am the servant. Is my point. So that's the point I was saying. So in one sense, it's a very serious topic. But on the other hand, we can have a lighter side to how we look at it too. When we see ourselves trying to imitate Krishna, and then we can see how foolish it is, we should kind of laugh ourselves off a little bit. And I know I sometimes do that, like, kind of like grossly says, when somebody like, yes, I am good, I am great, I am, of course I'm thinking like that. I suppose I could pretend like, I'm so fallen, I'm really useless, I just can't do that.
But if I can expose myself, yes, I am arrogant, I am thick-skinned, I am stubborn. But please give me some service. Please give me some service, because that's how I will be able to gradually defeat this mentality of seeing myself, not just trying to put an imitation of an act on, actually put myself always forward for doing more service, because that's how we really fundamentally... that devotee was telling the story about Prabhupada's failures. He was saying Prabhupada didn't start thinking philosophically about it. Oh, maybe this, maybe it's my karma, maybe Krishna doesn't want it. No. Or he didn't like thinking, oh, I'm no good, I'm not qualified, I'm not capable. He didn't respond like that. He just went on. He said, what have I done? What did I do wrong? Maybe I opened the Jhansi Center in the wrong part of the city. Maybe the Bhakti Gauda needs to be like this. He said, Srila Prabhupada was just so practical. And we lose this. We too quickly going to go behind a philosophy or self-flagellating mode. And supposed to think, okay, it didn't work out. What did I do wrong? Let me do it again. Let me just pick up and do the service again or do my next service and just make up for the mistake. Look at it in a very cool and practical way and just do it again. As opposed to over-intellectualizing, maybe it's my karma, maybe I'm not destined to have it, maybe it's not my nature, maybe I'm not qualified. These things are actually still mental wranglings on the false ego, fueled by the false ego. As opposed to thinking, oh well, okay, let me do it again and just get it right. So, in taking the lighter side of it, yeah, when we see ourselves, we should, in one sense, laugh ourselves off. Not take ourselves so serious is an important way to counteract this I am God, because I am God is a very serious claim. And when we try to do it, it's a very serious... So we kind of, when we're exposed as a fool or ridiculed or... caught in some way, we should laugh ourselves off. And this specifically, I think, is shown in the famous. What's the most famous? Who's the most famous person for claiming to be God? Okay, well, in Shastra, in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, Pundraka. Yeah, so the Pundraka thing is just like here we have like Hiranyakasipu is the big demon. But like the person who really claimed to be Krishna, it's hysterical. I mean, it's just really hysterical. The poor guy is just like, he just puts himself up very silly. I have a little bit of it here. He sends a messenger to Krishna, Dwarka, and says, Krishna, you better give up your imitation chakra and your imitation club and the disc and your conch. Give them up because everybody knows you're just imitating Krishna. So this is what the messenger of Pundraka said to Krishna. And even when the messenger said this, all the Yadavs were present. Everybody was just in hysterics. He just sent everybody like, this guy's like, how lost the plot has he? Like, here he is sending his messenger, yeah. So everyone, the Kuras are just laughing their head off. So the Krishna sends a messenger back and says, listen, go back to your Pundraka and tell him he better cease from this act. But Krishna immediately went to Pundraka and it was in Kashi, and with his armies to deal with Pundraka and his friend, Kashishvara, we hear. And then when Pundraka came out dressed up, we hear that Krishna saw him for the first time. We have here, when the two kings came before Lord Krishna to oppose him, Krishna saw Pundraka face to face for the first time. Krishna saw that Pundraka had decorated himself with the symbols of the conch shell, disc and club and lotus. He carried an imitation saranga bow on his chest with a mock insignia of Srivatsa. So you can see somehow he must have drew something here or stuck something on this little curl Krishna has in his chest, the Srivatsa hair. His neck was decorated with a false kastuba. He wore a flower garland, an exact imitation of Lord Vasudev. He was dressed in yellow garments, and the flag on his chariot carried the symbol of Garuda, exactly imitating Krishna's. He had a very valuable helmet on his head, and his earrings, like swordfish, glittered brilliantly. I'm not sure if that's a detail that's interesting. Swordfish. Normally, Krishna's earrings are sharks, but it says swordfish. I'm not sure if that's a... He got that detail wrong about it. On the whole, however, his dress and makeup were clearly imitation. Anyone could understand that he was just someone on, just like someone on stage playing the part of Vasudeva in the false dress. When Lord Sri Krishna saw Pundarika imitating his posture and dress, he could not check his laughter, and thus he laughed with great satisfaction. So Krishna basically just broke down in hysterics. And like, I kind of relate to this one specifically in relation to, like, I know when we do drama, I'm very reluctant to do costumes because we just never get costumes right, very rarely. And often, like, it's all cardboard cutout things that are, like, shaking and the crown's shaking like this. And I thought, oh, no, it's just, I can't take it serious. It's too silly. Let's just, unless we do it really nice, which would be very nice, but otherwise let's just get rid of them and just get to the main character. So I could picture Pundarika here with his cutout cardboard conch and club and disc and walking out in front of Krishna claiming to be Krishna. And everybody just laughed their heads off. So we can also respond like that. We should take a humorous side to our outrageous aspirations to be God, to be Krishna. When we see it come out, when we get exposed to ourselves, maybe other people don't see it. Somehow that we just caught ourselves and seeing how I was really planning to enjoy something there, or I was somehow thinking I was on top of this devotee, and now I see I'm not. And so we shouldn't berate ourselves, but laugh it off how silly we are and go before Krishna and tell Krishna, Krishna, I'm very silly. I still think I'm you. How beautiful you are, how nice you are, and I still think I'm you, but please don't take me serious. And then Krishna will respond. Okay, there's another topic, but it's kind of in relation to the philosophical aspect of this text, how Lord Chaitanya is claiming I'm not, an incarnation claims I am, never claims I am God. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, we hear many times he was very keen on this. When devotees would praise him in some way, like Brahmananda Bharati, when Lord Chaitanya came back to Jagannath Puri, Brahmananda Bharati was praising him in many ways. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's response always was, Vishnu, Vishnu. And cover his ears and claim how what a sort of outrageous thing are you saying? I am God. I am not God. I am God's servant. And it happened a number of occasions there. And then also when Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan saw his characteristics and claimed, you are the supreme, you are Krishna, return to Vrindavan, you are come back to us. And Lord Chaitanya again covered his ears, Vishnu, Vishnu, don't say things like this. So Lord Chaitanya principally was in this mode to teach us. But then we do hear that in very private and very intimate ways, he would sometimes, his disguise would drop. And we hear more about that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Lord Chaitanya would, just briefly for an occasion, show himself. But interesting, even though when he would do that, he still wouldn't claim, for the most part, there's one exception, I am God. He would just like, because he is God, and he's all the characteristics of God, from Shastra, and we can see very clearly, and Sadhu confirm it, that he's unquestionably God. But so occasionally his primary mission would become overwhelming. Or anyway, his mission to represent how a devotee should behave would get affected by his other missions. And he would deal with devotees in the form of being God. But for the most part, he never would. Even Krishna, actually. In one sense, does Krishna ever say, I am God? Well, everything comes from me. But is Krishna not, he's not describing, this is the characteristics. He's basically, Krishna's leaving, spreading out the characteristics of what it means to be God. Are you the center of everything? Krishna says, I am the center. Yes, everything is coming from me. I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. So one says, okay, he is, like, just that expression, of course, I am God. He describes who he is, and therefore, based on those descriptions, we understand, okay, yes, he's God. But it's just interesting, that expression, I am God. That's another example of this. Because in one sense, too, in many ways, Krishna, we know also, when he's in his most, in the lila or the aspect of himself which is most him, he doesn't. He puts that aside. He wants that put aside. And that when he's in his most beautiful or most private form. Anyway, that was not a whole big discussion there, but it's too late for that now. Okay, so I should stop here for anybody any make any questions or comments. Okay. Actually, that's right. Somebody gave that very nice. Yeah, that's the exact point of description. How Krishna, he never has to try and pretend to be God or be God because he just is God. He doesn't have to like do something. When he does, yeah, it's a very brief aspect. Like even this thing about the Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, all the Vaikuntha planets, they're still smaller than Goloka Vrindavan, where everyone forgets that Krishna is God. The planets are a fraction compared to Goloka. So Krishna, yeah, he really doesn't have to be. One thing you remind me there, when you said this thing about, therefore, the cheapness, this idea that people say I'm God, they make it very cheap. And sometimes Krishna does these, when he's very pushing divinity. He, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the technical sections of the Bhagavatam, they're all about, so we don't take the 10th canto of Krishna cheap. It's such an important thing, actually. And I heard a nice description of like how you have in the second canto, you have all the Virat Rupa, and the third, you have all this analytical Sankhya Yoga, and the fifth canto, you've got the cosmology. And they're usually the devotees' least favorite sections of the Bhagavatam, or you're asked to give class, you go, oh no, not the Virat Rupa, oh no, not the Sushumara planetary system, please, or Bhumandals, lakes, please, not that, because we don't know how to relate to it. But it's all simply just another way to not take the 10th canto on Krishna cheap, actually. These are all things, ways Krishna has given us to understand that these things are completely connected to him. He's the almighty, everything is him in the Virat Rupa, and if you want to analyze everything very intellectually, that's also Krishna. And the whole structure of this beautiful, complicated, vast universe is also Krishna. So he does give those things, but a devotee is pointing out that we don't really go there so much, we go to the 10th canto, but we have to go to the 10th canto via these things, so we understand when we get to hear about Krishna, we don't take him cheap. So we don't turn around and claim to be God in any gross or, for us, much more subtle way. So we're always having to be here. One should not underestimate, understand how great God is. It's an important one statement Prabhupada says. But yeah, but Krishna himself, yeah, he's not so enthusiastic to show himself as God because he just is. And those who know him as such are very happy. Okay, anything else? Okay. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.